Hey guys, Dizlaif Mark here, and I want to tell you all about the official travel partner here at Chip & Company. Let our good friend Sarah at Destination to Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Sarah specializes in planning dream vacations for your family. She's an authorized Disney vacation planner, and she can help with every step of your magical vacation. The best thing is that her services are 100% free. Want to travel beyond Disney? Sarah has you covered there too. Want to find out more? Fill out a trip request form over at the website at Chip & Co. or email her directly at sarahsolberg@d2travel.com. Start planning that dream vacation today. Email her at sarahsolberg@d2travel.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
Amigos, amigos down there, it is me up here.
Howdy, folks. Please keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the train and remain seated at all times.
If smaller aviators don't measure up to the height indicator on the seat, just put the belt through the loop in the center strap before buckling. That's worked out.
We know what our goals are. We know what we hope to accomplish. And believe me, it's the most exciting and challenging assignment we've ever tackled at Walt Disney Productions.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to DizLive Podcast. Thank you for being a part of our Disney Lives here on the Chip & Company Podcast Network. My name is Mark Valentine, and I am the host of Disney Podcast. Join us here every single week as we discuss the very best of Disney parks, resorts, dining, and everything beyond. And don't forget, smash the subscribe button to access more incredible audio content from the Chip & Company Podcast Network. Quick reminder, go to chipandco.com because we've got all the headlines from across the Disney parks from around the world. And don't forget to give our show a rating or a review on Apple, Spotify, or if you're feeling up to it, Podchaser. On today's podcast, we're talking about our Disney Razzies, things we find overrated at Disney parks and in the entertainment world. But before we do that, let me bring in my co-host, the man that is certainly not overrated, but is just right every single week. The one and only Brian Lee. Brian, what's up, man?
I hope most people have that opinion. I'm sure lots of people think I'm overrated, but that's okay.
No way, dude. It doesn't matter. It's just an audience of one. That's all you have to worry about. So no football this weekend. There's the touch football game that's going on over there in Orlando with the Pro Bowl. The big game picks, man. Who you got next week?
I mean, I'm rooting for the 49ers, so that's what I'm going to go with. I'll hedge my bets a little bit.
But I figured being an AFC West guy that that would be the way that you would go. I mean, I wouldn't root for like the Boston Red Sox. So
yeah, I think, is this how like Buffalo Bills fans felt when the Patriots were their height? I guess they probably is, right? Like,
you
and
have
the Chiefs
to.
Still are what the Patriots were, but they're not far from it. It's brutal, man.
Yeah, you have to root against them. They're your rival. You cannot root for the Chiefs. So
it's also pathetic, and I fully admit that.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just, here's what I'm rooting for. A good game. I would really like to see the Chiefs win just because we've already gone into this, the whole Swiftie fervor and all of that would be like just so good. The socials and all the stuff that would be going on with the hate-filled posts would just be enough to carry me through the week. So let's,
I don't understand the Swiftie hate. Like, she's not something I'm tuned into, but to each their own, man. Like, I'm good with it. It's interesting. She's fun. He's fun.
Yeah. I don't care. That's what it is, man. It's just fun. Just enjoy. I mean, people are taking it way, way, way too seriously. All right, man, before we get into Mark's main event for the week, it's time for our roaring review. This is where, again, we round up our latest headlines from Disney parks and entertainment. So let's get at it.
It's time to step into our roaring review. This is where we unravel the latest and the most splendid updates from Disney parks. From avant-garde attractions to the latest unveilings, this jolly and joyous jamboree will keep you in the house Let's gin up some headlines with Mark and Brian.
All right, dude. It's been a quiet week, actually, over on the Disney side of things. It's been a sad week. It's been a really sad week. I'm just going to tear this off like a Band-Aid. This one hit and it hurt. A lot of passings this week, obviously. I mean, I'm a Broadway guy, so Cheetah Rivera passing was also very tragic. But Carl Weathers, many of you know he was the renowned actor. He portrayed Apollo Creed in all of the Rocky films alongside Sylvester Stallone. He passed away on Thursday at the age of 76. His manager, Matt Luber, confirmed that to numerous sources, but to Variety. But we know him and love him because in addition to just being Apollo Creed in the Rocky franchise, he was in, you know, the iconic 1987 film Predator. He was in Happy Gilmore. He had a diverse career doing comedy and straight. And of course, he contributed to your and my favorite world, The Galaxy Far, Far Away, Brian. He was such a big part of The Mandalorian as Greef Karga. He's a Disney guy. He voiced Combat Carl in Toy Story 4. He played a fictionalized version of himself in a recurring role in Arrested Development. But, you know, here's a guy that had a decades-long career, not just in film, but also in television. And I felt every bit of this. And I wanted to, you know, say, Dylan, you son of a bitch, up there in heaven. I'm going to miss Carl Weathers, dude. And I'm very sad that we're not going to see him again as Greef Karga. Just retire. Obviously, they're going to retire the role. I don't think you recast this one.
Yeah, I think it's an easy enough role just to retire. And I mean, if you can do it with other characters, which they have, then I think you could do it with that character. It's brutal, man. His directed episodes that he did in both season two and three of The Mandalorian were both really well done as well. He was just talented. He was all over the place. His recurring role on Arrested Development was so funny. I've seen memes of Chubbs Peterson in the sky with Abraham Lincoln and the crocodile or in the alligator that took his hand. Just all funny stuff. Like the sense of humor he had, the command he had of every role. He just seemed like somebody that was just so fun to be around. This one, I'm with you, man. This one hurt.
I guess this is what it's like though, to grow old. I mean, inevitably you see your sports heroes and your television stars, like
the older you get, the more people, like just the last 10 years, it's hit me of people that have passed away. It's like, man, I know who they were. Like when I was a kid, I didn't know who anybody was. Now it's just we're getting to that point. Like 76 isn't old, but it's not young either. Like it's going to happen, man. It's just awful.
I know. And it's just, I'm starting to steel myself for this because I feel like this is just that next phase of being middle-aged myself, is having the people that were, you know, icons in my youth, you know, now obviously very aged. You know, there's others, man. There's others. We need to start a Dislife Deadpool. That's what we need to do. Just to have some kind of game with this, because I feel like it's going to hurt more and more and more. But yeah, dude, this was a rough one. This was a really rough one.
I know he's got a commercial next week for the Super Bowl with FanDuel, and they're talking about amending it, but I hope they don't change it too much. Like, I don't think that's something, again, his sense of humor, his sensibilities, I don't think he would mind. So I hope they at least run with at least the spirit of what the commercial was.
Yeah. Agreed, man. So I just wanted to get to that one right away and not, I mean, there's no way to insert a headline without really like bringing the vibe down. So I didn't want to bring the vibe down like right before. But yeah, you and I love Disneyland and we have some more hotel options out there. I'm sure that you've seen this by now as a person who worked in Disney resorts and experiences. It's time. Finally, the reimagined Pixar Place Hotel is now officially open at the Disneyland Resort. It's a brand new 15-story high rise overlooking the Disney California Adventure Park. It's not new. It's newly renovated. My apologies. But it boasts comfortable and contemporary guest rooms that celebrate the artistry of Pixar Animation Studios, has new dining options by Great Maple, a relaxing rooftop pool area, and a play court. They've also renovated the fitness center and much, much more. But we've seen this thing from the concept art on the headboards to the pillows that are inspired by the Pixar ball and more. These new reimagined guest rooms incorporate nods to the world-renowned animation studio. Some of the art in the rooms itself was created by Pixar Animation Studios artists, especially for the hotel. And when the final touches are, unveiled, or when they were unveiled, this room is again a beautifully remodeled 479 total guest rooms with two bedroom themed signature suites and a new concierge lounge. Man, this is making me jealous and I want to book another trip. I haven't looked at pricing yet though. This was the budget version. What is it now?
It still is. It's still the cheapest of the three. But it was never super budgety, but it used to be like 280 to 350 a night. Now I think it's 350 to 450.
Now it's a solid 350.
yeah. But I mean, it's still the cheapest of the three. My favorite detail is every room has a miniature Luxo Junior lamp. That is my favorite part. It's really cool.
My favorite detail is that you can meet Bing Bong as a unique character experience, a meet and greet. I don't know if that's going to continue in perpetuity. Yeah. I really hope that it does, selfishly.
I hope he smells like cotton candy.
I think he probably does, man. So, I mean, they can have so many rare characters meet and greet there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really, really fun. But yeah, maybe.
Used to get Surfer Goofy over at the Disneyland Hotel at his restaurant over there. Like they do a lot more characters in the hotels than Disney World does too. Like you said, they run out of space. I mean, that's the reason for it. But Bing Bong, that's such a great idea to get it off the ground.
And having Bing Bong there, Bing Bong has a candy store over on Pixar Pier. So maybe after he's done there for a while and maybe the rarity is kind of over, maybe they just have him as a meet and greet somewhere else in the park. Gives me
who's a friend who likes to play.
Bing Bong, Bing Bong. Talk about passings that hit. That was, woo, still hits. Still hits. All right, man, if you're looking to book a stay this spring, well, guess what? You're in luck because Disney Visa Card members can enjoy special room rates at select Disney World resorts this spring. But you can stay in the magic at Walt Disney World Resort, and if you're a Disney Visa Card member, you can enjoy a special card member rate at the select Disney World Resort hotels this spring. Now, the rates themselves will they'll vary based on the room type, the resort hotel, and the travel dates. But here's a little example. You can use your Disney Visa card, book a stay, take advantage of the special rate at the following resort hotels. For example, Disney's All-Star Movies and Music, you can get a $129 per night rate for a standard room. And that's for stay most nights from March 25th through April 27th. If you want to upgrade that, stay at a moderate hotel like Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. It's $229 per night with a standard view. And that's, again, most stays March 25th through June 29th, a little bit further into the season. And then if you want to stay at that newly renovated Boardwalk Inn, you can do so for $419 a night with a resort view room. And that is March 25th through June 29th. You can enjoy other great rates at those Disney Resort hotels for most nights from March 25th through June 29th. And the number of rooms allocated, though, it's limited. So the savings are also based on a non-discounted price for the same room. And the length of stay requirements are a minimum of one night and a maximum of 14. You want to stay beyond 14, you're going to pay for it. This is cool, man, because if you're not getting an annual pass holder discount, or if you're not getting a Disney Vacation Club discount, this is something that more people can certainly take advantage of. There's a lot of people out there that are Visa card members. Brian, are you a Visa card member?
The debit card. I don't have the credit card, but I have the debit card, which gives you the ability to take advantage of all the same stuff.
I was going to say, it's just the same thing. Yeah. You can have that credit card. That's from Chase, right?
Yeah. There BB-8. Man.
Yeah, man. I have Darth Vader. And I'm not going to lie, you know, people are out there like, oh, I choose Chase to bank because I can get a Darth Vader credit card / debit card.
Yep.
I used to have a local bank and I was like, nah, I need that ish in my life. I was just like, when I pay for something, I want it to be the Dark Lord of the Sith. That's forking over money. So yeah, we've never taken advantage of a Disney Visa offer. They are really great. There have been times that we've booked individuals that we've encouraged them to take advantage of that rate. I love it. Like Disney will do this. They'll do Disney Plus subscribers, obviously yeah. Disney Vacation Club. So it's great to see Disney offering those discounts. through a peak season too. So that's nice because that's the prime time to go to Disney as far as the weather goes. That's a good season, man. Tiana's Bayou Adventure are going to be open this spring. They tested water today.
I heard that. That's fast, though. They have changed the wording on the website from fall 2024 to just 2024. I'm thinking
it's coming early.
Spring, if the middle of June counts as spring, which I guess it technically does until June 21st, I'm going to go early summer. I'm thinking 4th of July-ish.
It's coming. It's coming early. It's not coming in the fall. Yeah.
I'm fast.
Yeah, they're making some really good progress on that thing. And look, for good reason, Disney is under a lot of pressure right now. I mean, you know, that Epic Universe is coming fast. You can't sit on one ride. Like, you can't just sit there with one ride and it's taking longer than an entire gate for your competitor. Disney has to start getting quicker with these things. And I understand, like, it's apples and oranges, you know, and permitting and yada yada. But Disney's got to move, man. I mean, they've gotten crushed on the Moana thing that it took that long to put in a water feature. They got crushed on whatever that is called, that world celebration that people were like, yo, you couldn't build a park faster than the 4 years it took. So they've got to get Tiana's out. They got to get it out before fall.
Yep.
Really, truly got to get it back. All right, listen,
they haven't forgiven them since Tron. I mean, that's the simple answer is Tron's the people were so looking forward to Tron. And when that got delayed, they're finding all the other negative things when it comes to delays and timelines.
That's very true. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but don't go anywhere. Don't get mad at us because we're not taking 2 years to do that. We'll be right back in just a minute. Is Disney World home to you? Realtor Victor Naraki can help make it a reality. Realtor Victor Naraki specializes in making your Disney home dreams come true. Second homes, investment homes, retirement, relocation. With Victor's input, he will show you the home opportunities that you don't get to see as a tourist. Imagine being at the park in minutes, walking around the World Showcase for daily exercise, watching the fireworks in your own backyard, or having Disney Springs as your local mall. Have you ever heard of Windermere, Winter Garden, Horizon West, Dr. Phillips, Claremont, Lake Nona, or Disney's own Celebration and Golden Oak? Victor will introduce you to these communities, which are just minutes to the magic. Stop imagining a Disney life and start living your dream today. Call Victor at 407-340-9375. And don't forget to mention that you heard all about Victor here on the Chip and Company Podcast Network. Head over to celebratingflorida.com and start living your magical life today. All right, Brian Lee, we are back with our version of the Razzies. Listen. We adore Disney parks, okay? This is not the Negative Nelly episode that you may think it is. We love this. We live this. This is an important part of our lives. This is an important part of our personalities. It's the keystone to who I am, in addition to Broadway. But look, nothing is perfect, and today we're pointing out those things that we wish were a little bit better. If you want to hear all the things that we gush about, just go listen, what was it, 2-3 episodes ago, where we talked about our favorites. This is just us balancing the scale. It's the yin to the yang. It's the light side of the force to the dark, or the dark side of the force to the light side. You have to have balance. So that's what this is. We're just pointing out those things we wish were a little bit better. And guess what?
Perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
Right. It's award season, but even the Razzies have their day. So today, we're handing out our version of the Disney Razzies and talking about those things that we wish were just a little bit better. Brian, what are our categories today? Or just tell the peoples, what are we doing?
Yeah, so we've got both Disney Parks and Disney Entertainment. And rather than going least favorite, we're not going to use the word worst. We're not going to use any negative language like that, but we're going to go most overrated rather than to our personal likings, what's most overrated, because I think both of us would agree the our least favorite, and I'm dare I say it, the worst film in the Pixar category is The Good Dinosaur. Some people would say Cars 2, but we're not going to be able to create a lot of conversation around either of those films. So rather than looking at it from that standpoint, we're just going to say, okay, what's something that's so properly loved that we think just isn't as good as everybody else does? So we're just going to think what's overrated. It's our hot take episode.
Lots of hot takes, lots of things that we will essentially touch the third rail. Just expect this episode to be muy caliente. All right.
We want your feedback. We want to hear what you think. Again, this is all having fun conversation. Everything I say, I'm going to truly believe in. I'm not doing necessarily anything just to poke the bear, even though I might just poke the bear just a little bit, just for fun.
Where can people sound? Speaking of sounding off, what's a good place where people can join that conversation?
Diz Life Podcast on Instagram, obviously, but we do have a Discord community which you can join. Reach out to Diz Life Podcast, United We Fan Podcast on Instagram. You can join our Discord community there. Lots of fun conversations. There's a spot for United We Fan for myself and Mark Adams where we're talking all things entertainment, not just Disney, but you can talk about anything you want to over there. Again, join the Discord community. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, you just send us a message because there's a link. You have to get the link to join Discord.
Invite only. It's the cool kids club.
Yeah, it's the cool kids club. So you got to message us and say, hey, I wants that invite. I wants to be a part of that world. And we'll say, here you go. Welcome to the magic. All right, man, let's start with one of the bigger topics. You know what this is going to be, and I'm going to again talk about this because it's not new for me. I've talked about it week in and week out, but what would you say is the most overrated Disney park? Of all of the parks, which one would you say is the one that gets a lot of love from people, and it might not be deserving according to Brian Lee?
For me, the answer is Epcot. Whoa. Because it just doesn't have enough for me that appeals to me to make me want to attend it. Say I'm going on a 7-day vacation, I will do a full day in Epcot. I may go back for a morning or something like that, but I will not do two full days in Epcot like most people would.
See, now I would disagree with you, but again, this is where this episode is really fun. I could eat my way through Epcot and just do those rides again and again and again. It's home to like one of my favorite roller coasters in Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind.
That's where it gets kind of taken away from me. But again, I eat like a 5-year-old and I don't drink alcohol.
Yeah, no.
Things don't appeal to me there.
Festivals are like my everything. And I love each one of the festivals for what they offer. Even Food and Wine, even though it's like 900 months of the year, I still love the Food and Wine Festival. It's got some real bangers in terms of like the good stuff that they offer. But I would disagree. We're going to diverge on this topic. And this one's no secret for me. Anyone who listens to the show, you know that I'm going to say Animal Kingdom. And it's overrated. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's overrated because there's a lot of love out there. And there's Animal Kingdom stands who constantly come at me. They will bring out the pitchforks and they get really mad at me because I will malign Animal Kingdom. But to me, I'm a rides guy. I need rides. And in terms of the rides experiences, you have Dinosaur, you have Navi River Journey, you have the Flight of Passage, you have Everest. I don't consider the Safari a ride. It's really cool, but it's not a ride. You have Triceratops Spin, and I think that's it, man. I don't think.
Did you say Dinosaur?
I did say Dinosaur. It was one of the first things. There's not a lot of rides to do, so I will die on this hill. Disney's Animal Kingdom is a half-day park. I enjoy my half-day there immensely, but I'm not going to linger. I'm not going to spend any more time than I have to at the park. I do think that it's a really cool park to hang out with people that are maybe not fans of, like, say, the hustle and bustle of the Magic Kingdom. They like the walkthrough experiences and seeing all of the animals and being able to take it at a slower pace. Is Animal Kingdom a full-day park if you want to commit yourself to taking, like, downtime and just moving really slow and going and seeing all the animals and going to Rafiki's Planet Watch and doing all the shows? Absolutely. Sure, there's things there to do. But my style of Disney vacation does not lend itself to Animal Kingdom. And that's it. To me, it's overrated. Now they're going to fix that. They're going to put some more attractions. They're going to put some more immersive lands in there. Hopefully they reinstall another ride over there at, you know, what is currently Dinoland USA, which is a Travesty mockery. You know, that thing is just not great. And once they do that, you know, can Animal Kingdom climb up in the ranks for me? Sure. Until that day, overrated.
This is where the difference between least favorite and overrated came in. Cause I think my least favorite of the four parks probably is Animal Kingdom, because like you said, it is kind of a, not quite a full day park, but just for me, the amount of people who love Epcot definitely outweighs the amount of people who love Animal Kingdom, which is why I went overrated for myself.
Right.
For Epcot. But yes, of the four, I think Animal Kingdom is probably my least favorite, and there's still things I really like, but again, it's really hard to fill a full day.
Now, I would have counted the water parks as gates. I would have counted both of them. My least favorite would have probably have been Typhoon Lagoon. But I do find that of the four parks, they're all highly rated. The four main gates are highly rated. I don't think people would say that Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon are in the upper echelon. They're perfectly rated, exactly where they are. But there's a lot of love that comes for Disney's Animal Kingdom. And for that reason, I felt like it fit the criteria. So people are going to be like, wait, that's your worst. It's not the worst park. I'm just saying, I think it's overrated. That's it.
You need to start calling rides attractions, because the safari is an attraction. I agree, it's not a ride, but.
Well, that thing's perfectly rated. The safari is the bomb. And I would say it might be the best thing that Animal Kingdom has going for it above Everest. Hot take.
I like how long it takes personally. It takes time out of your day, fills right. A lot of time. It's good for the kids. Yes, I love it.
And depending on what time of day you go, you're going to get a totally different experience every single time.
Yep.
So if you go in the middle of the afternoon in the summer in August, everyone's going to be hot and sleepy.
Yourself. Might see some mommy and daddy giraffes.
Possible. All right. Speaking of attraction, let's use that verbiage, man. What would you say is the most overrated, not bad, overrated attraction at Walt Disney World Resorts?
I struggle to come up with an answer other than the one that I have. And for me, the answer is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay, so I had that on my short list. I had a list.
It's such a long wait for a 90 second ride.
It's a kiddie ride.
I do enjoy it. I think the way the carts move is fun, but paying an individual lightning lane fee or standing in line for 120 minutes, the payoff just isn't there. I think it's really fun, yeah, but
we won't do that.
It's the most overrated thing for me.
There's two times a day that we do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We either rope drop it or we do it during the fireworks.
Yep.
That's it. And other than that, if that line is that long, we won't. And it was really there for me as well. It was on my list. I had Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but I also picked a second because I figured you would go there, because everyone says the same thing. It's overrated. I'm going to go with Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Yep.
And the hype of that ride was massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really not Disney's fault. The fact that it's quote unquote overrated, we rated it before it was even released. We had built it up as this e-ticket attraction. I think the mythos of it being over in Paris and being so beloved over there and being an e-ticket over in Paris, I think before it had even been ported to Epcot, we had built it up as being like a perfect bookend for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a good attraction. Don't get me wrong. It's really fun. E-ticket, it is not. And for people who go on it expecting that they're going to get some life-changing e-ticket level experience that's going to like rock your world, you come off it going,
The problem is Rise of the Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway work in a similar manner, and both are significantly better.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is also a precursor to them.
Yeah. So
technologically speaking,
right,
it is older. They did not update it. They didn't even give it an English, you know, audio track. They literally just gave us the Parisian ride, you know, French and all. And the first few times I was like, I don't know what the hell they're saying.
So what you're saying is we need to be grateful for Remy's Ratatouille Adventure because it's what gave us those other two attractions. But like you said, since it came after in our minds, they should have technologically advance it. And like you said, they just copy and paste, man.
Yep. And that's on us.
Which is what they should have done. Like, you're not going to spend R&D to change something that if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No. And that's on us. I mean, that's truly on us, the audience, for making it rated where it was. But there's a lot of times that people will go on it thinking they're going to get more than they actually did. And they come off just going, should I have liked that more? Should I have enjoyed that experience? Because I feel like I should have enjoyed that more than I actually did. And it's like, no, you're not wrong. It's good, but it's definitely not a great ride.
You might hear more about it later on.
Right, right, right. All right, man, this one, you know me too. You know where I'm going to go. I will soapbox when I get to this. But the most overrated show on property. Nothing Disney Springs, no Cirque du Soleil in there. On property.
I actually was going to go Drawn to Life, Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, go ahead. So go with it. All right.
That's what I'm doing.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. I spent $500 to go to it.
Oh my. Well, that's like why you feel family. That way. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. No. And like, I think it was fine. Like it was good. Lanuba was better. It had a lot of good acts in it, but again, that's not my world. Like I'm not in the Cirque world, like socially, like that's just not my thing.
Is that a thing?
I mean, I assume so. Like people that are big into the arts and stuff, like there's people that go to Vegas and see like six different Cirque shows. And I don't know, maybe it's not a thing. Anyway, I don't do stuff like that very frequently. I got to see Lanuba for like $40 for a date night as a cast member, cause it had been around for so long. So like I went to Drawn to Life pretty early in its infancy, and like it was fine, but it wasn't as incorporated with Disney animation as I thought it was, as I was led to believe. Like it had a lot of stuff that just didn't have to do with Disney, and I kind of wanted it to be more Disney immersive. Like it wasn't my thing. The money that it costs is where it becomes overrated for me. If I'd spent half the money to go, I probably would have a different feeling, but that was an expensive day.
The only time I've ever seen a Cirque du Soleil show was aboard the Norwegian Dawn.
And did you never see Lanuba when it was at Springs before? No. It was there for like 20 years.
You know me, man. I don't get over to Disney Springs.
Well, fair enough.
One, I'm not going to get over to Disney Springs. And two, if I do so, I'm not going to take that big of a chunk of time to devote to watching a Cirque show. When I've seen Cirque before, it was okay. It was cool. It's not worth taking time out of my vacation for, you know.
But that was the answer that actually I had. And because one, I don't believe this, but two, I didn't want to say Festival of the Lion King because I knew somebody else was going to say that.
All right, here we go. Soapbox out. Boom. All right, look, it's fun. It's good. It's serviceable. I get it. Everyone always gets so mad at me when I say Festival of the Lion King is not good because I have now 25 years on Broadway, The Lion King on Broadway, which is a far superior theatrical version of The Lion King. The Festival of the Lion King is just that. It's a truncated kiddie version made for the parks where they have a few different songs, and I don't know what those creepy puppets are, but you know, you get placed into one of the animal kingdoms and you have to like be a warthog or a lion or whatever. I mean, and that's cool. It's fun for that. But the monkeys, speaking of Cirque, the monkeys are the best theatrical part for me. The rest of it is just piecemeal compared to what I think you can get. So is it cool for, you know, the theme parks? Absolutely. But in my opinion, there's better shows. There are way better shows at Disney parks than the Festival of the Lion King. And the reason I think it's overrated is because when it came back, it was the one show that people just like totally flipped the script. They were like, oh my God, it's back. It was like, okay, we're talking about the same show, right? Like the Festival of Lion King, this is the reaction you're getting. Like there's other things that I think would have come back sooner that I would have totally flipped out over. And it's fun, it's good, the music's fun, but I just don't understand why people lose their mind over that. Buy a plane ticket here to New York City, come get on my level, come and see The Lion King on Broadway. And then let's have this conversation.
Does the Broadway show have the Tumble Monkeys?
It doesn't, but...
Or man, Sione the Fire Spinner.
It doesn't, but man, it's got a lot more than that. I mean...
Shout out to Sione the Fire Spinner. He's a friend of mine. I believe he listens to the show.
And Iris McCarron, who just flew up to New York City for her first ever New York trip, got tickets to see The Lion King. Now, I knew she was coming up. I wanted to make the trip special. I was her personal tour guide for the day. We went to Tiffany's. We walked around the city, yada, yada, yada. But long story short is after the curtain closed for The Lion King on Broadway, she turned to me and was like, I don't know if I can watch that thing they've got at Animal Kingdom anymore. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. Exactly. And that was it. Like, I didn't prompt it. She said it at it from her mouth. It's the truth. All right, man. Let's get on the resort side of things. The most overrated Disney resort.
This one's hard.
This one was actually not hard for me at all.
Please go.
Disney's Boardwalk Resort. The proximity to Epcot is about all that that thing has going for me. I don't like the layout. I don't like that I have to leave my room, walk outside for what seems like a country mile in order to get to like the amenities and the bakery and all of that stuff, especially if it's like a foggy, wet morning. I don't want to walk in the rain. There's no coverage. You know, the other places you can stay inside and be covered. I do not like the layout of that hotel. And that's purely it. It's people love it. I haven't seen one of the renovated rooms yet. It's expensive. It's cool to walk to Epcot, but that's about it. Overrated Boardwalk.
We're on the same wavelength. I was thinking about that too. So I'm actually going to go Yacht Club because again, you're talking a lot of money. And when you talk ambiance and environment, I prefer the beach club to the yacht club. So if you're going to spend that kind of money to stay that close to Epcot and Hollywood Studios and everything else, stay at the beach. Don't stay at Yacht Club. So in my opinion, Yacht Club comes overrated there. But to your point, yeah, the layout of Boardwalk, it struggles. So I'm not saying Boardwalk just because, but we're on the same wavelength.
I like to imagine in my head that the Beach Club Resort is where the crew from Saved by the Bell worked in the summer. When I wake up in the... I love those summer episodes with Leah. What was it? Leah Ramey, right? Was in it. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. What about those episodes when they went to Hawaii for a little while? Those were good.
Those were good too. Dude. So someone showed me a picture of Tiffany Amber Thiessen the other day. And I was
50.
She's 50. She's 50 years old and she's still smoking hot.
Kelly Kapowski, man. She was everybody's second crush after the Pink Ranger.
She still is my second crush after my wife. So, all right. Most overrated restaurant.
Am I allowed to say this?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Cinderella's Royal Table.
That's very fair, man.
So much money for not that great of food. It's not everything it's cracked up to be. I will admit I have not taken any of my daughters there. My wife and I ate there on our honeymoon. I haven't been in a long time. It's one of the hardest reservations to get on property. The only other answer I may have is Victoria and Albert's, but I'm never, ever going to experience that. So, but when you talk the level of money to the level of the experience, Cinderella's Royal Table just doesn't meet it for me.
So I would say this isn't bad. This isn't worse. This is overrated. There is a lot of hype around this. I mean, I guess it would be like one of the flagship dining experiences because it's one of the oldest, but Chef Mickey's is so overrated, bro.
Oh, I love Chef Mickey's.
I love it too. And the food is good, but people act like it is Victorian Albert's. Like you cannot get a reservation there. Sometimes it can be a really hard get. The food is good, but like the way that people act over Chef Mickey's, like you would think that it is the greatest restaurant at Walt Disney World. And it's not, it's good, but it's overrated. Space 220. I have a list. Like you want my whole list? Space 220 is the same thing. Everyone wants to eat and go up the elevator for a while. It was the Instagrammers that were driving that. It's a really fun and cool experience. Just like Coral Reef is a really fun and cool experience, but it's overrated. You can't get a freaking seat at Space 220 because everyone is like bum rushing it still. And it doesn't mean that it's bad. It's just, it's overrated compared to what it is in actuality. Be Our Guest is the same way. Be Our Guest is really cool, but everyone wants to eat there. And it's so hard to get a reservation unless, you know, you get a cancellation last minute. But ADRs are tough to land at Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guest for dinner, I would agree. Breakfast and lunch, I think it's a lot better. The quick service stuff, the pricing and everything's a little bit better.
Yeah, we haven't been there for breakfast in a hot minute. So
it's good for breakfast. Yeah. I really like it.
All right. We, like you said, we're going to do a little parks and a little bit of entertainment. So let's hop over to the entertainment side. I liked this one. This was very pointed. The most overrated Star Wars droid. You didn't do like Star Wars movie. You were very like specific with this. Like what, why, where did droid come from?
I don't know. Like I want to make it difficult, man. And the answer to the most overrated Star Wars droid is C-3PO.
Wow. No, you cannot do that. You can't.
I can. He's a buzzkill. He's annoying. Nobody wants to listen to him. But that's
what makes him so
amazing. I'm sorry, but C-3PO just, he's the worst of the droids.
No, he's not. You want to talk about the worst droid and who's a real buzzkill? The worst or the most overrated?
Don't say AP-5. He doesn't count.
No, I'm going to say buzz droids. I can't pick. I literally cannot pick. All droids are appropriately rated for me and they're amazing.
Sever the controls.
So, okay. What if like all of a sudden they forgot to use the force or like force pushes don't work in outer space? They land on the wing. You know, they couldn't have radiated like a shockwave at that point or I just don't get it. Like all of a sudden, get him, R2. Why don't you get him? Why does R2 have to get the buzz droid? Why can't you just force push the whole lot of them off of your wing? There's not a lot in terms of like plot holes in Disney that are in Star Wars that really makes me mad. That made me, I was, even the first watch through, I'm going, this is stupid. Why? I mean, they've just spent the entirety of the Clone Wars force pushing the crap out of battle droids. And now all of a sudden a buzz droid is immune from that attack. What's going on? R2,
hit the buzz droid in the center eye. I'm sorry to Anthony Daniels, but I had to do it. C-3PO is the most overrated droid.
Okay. Well, moving on. Most overrated Avenger. This must have been hard for you.
It should have been, right? Doctor Strange.
Wow. No, I wouldn't have gone there. Okay.
I hated Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness so much. I'm not interested, and they did this in What If too, of the biggest threat to the universe actually being Doctor Strange trying to be too helpful or too into his own business. I don't know, like somebody that can see into the future and know everything is going to happen. It's such an easy thing to plan around. Again, it worked in Avengers Endgame for what they were doing. But the more we try to do this whole, he understands what's happening all the time. I don't know, man, like Doctor Strange gets on my nerves. And maybe that is What If influencing me too much. And also my least favorite MCU film influencing me too much.
I love them all. And this was one of those that I couldn't really go with worst. And I really had to stick to the letter of the law with overrated. I think that in the MCU, I think Vision was very overrated. They built Vision up as being this big game changer. He could wield Mjolnir. And then he spent the majority of the saga being a MacGuffin and running from danger. And we really didn't even get that much of a redemption from him until he became White Vision in the finale of WandaVision. So I felt like we spent so much time taking the ultimate weapon and really nerfing him to make him fit. I also want to give a shout out to War Machine. Rhodey, I'm sorry, but you're annoying to me. And I understand a lot of people love the Iron Man stuff. But Rhodey is a buzzkill. You want to talk about C-3PO being a buzzkill? Rhodey is a super buzzkill. He works for the man.
In what, though? Because Skrull Rhodey doesn't count.
Oh, my God. I have erased that from my memory, man. When was
you already elaborated, but I'm going to hit it anyway.
I request elaboration.
Just Vision, man. Right. I love him.
Yeah. No, I love Paul Bettany. I love Paul Bettany. I just can't stand what they did to the character in the MCU. They've really nerfed him. But they've nerfed a lot of characters to make it kind of plausible. You know, they nerfed Captain Marvel to make her plausible. They nerfed Scarlet Witch to make her plausible. Because, you know, these characters, like, it becomes a point where they just get so overpowered that it's like you jump.
Then you struggle with it from the Superman complex that I have.
Right, right, right. All right, from Avengers to princesses, who's your most overrated official Disney princess?
The most overrated official Disney princess, it has to be Sleeping Beauty, Aurora.
I have a different one, but I can understand where you're going. She would be Aurora's
most of her first film, most of her only film asleep and not playing that much into the story. I don't think she does a ton. So this is love. I suppose she has her own song, but that's about it. She doesn't have a ton going for her in my mind.
So my personal bias,
and her castle is really dinky.
Yeah. My personal bias is really going to influence this one for me. Pocahontas. First of all, I mean, let's just, again, soapbox, pull it out. Pocahontas is a historical figure, dude. She's not a Disney princess. Disney was, I don't know if they were running out of ideas there in the 90s and early aughts that they were just like, okay, where do we go? They kind of, you know, Disney's always drawn inspiration from, you know, like older films and older scripts. But you're literally taking a historical character who lived, had a narrative, and you're fictionalizing it. It's highly fictionalized. And I mean, they weren't even true to history, not even close by a lot. So that just, it's always gnawed at me. Like even when I was a kid, that really bothered me. And again, it's not that it's bad. If it encourages people to go back and to look into the annals of history and kind of learn about the real character and the real story of Pocahontas, well, that's great. Mission accomplished. But the fact that they turned her into a princess and so many people do love Pocahontas, it just drives me a little bit mad, dude. It just drives me a little crazy. So for that reason, Pocahontas lands on my overrated princess list. She's not a Disney princess. She needs to come off that list. It just makes me mad.
Fair.
All right, dude. The most overrated Pixar film for you.
So this came down to really two. I considered WALL-E. But I think a lot of people, that's just a polarizing one because there's a lot of people on my side that really just don't like it. There's not as many people that don't like this one, and I don't get it. I haven't seen it in a long time. Ratatouille. I don't get it, like, at all. I just don't understand the love for it. Again, I've never been to Paris. I don't have a foodie mentality. Maybe that's as simple as that. I think rats are disgusting.
Linda feels the same way as you. She would throw that on the list.
I don't get it with Ratatouille. I think it's extremely, extremely overrated.
All right. So I'm going to go with a film. I don't know if this would count. Like, please, just correct me if I'm wrong. Cause you might be like, Mark, I think it's perfectly rated. I think Onward and the expectations and the Tom Holland and the Chris Pratt, but that movie was not.
No, that movie, but I don't know a lot of people that love that movie either. I think it's properly rated, but it's probably the biggest film when you think Pixar not living up to expectations.
Well, I mean, I would say then if you're going to do overrated, I'll be the one. I will take the smoke with Marky Mark. WALL-E is really overrated because the people that love WALL-E love WALL-E. And I like WALL-E. But I do think that there is a lot of WALL-E worship that is undeserved out there. Yeah. So sorry, Marky Mark. He's going to come at me. Just don't listen to this one. Skip this episode, my friend. What about franchise? The most overrated Disney franchise. I counted Pixar in here too, by the way, FYI.
Yeah, I counted Pixar as well. This one's actually a bit difficult.
It's not for me. This was right away. Boom.
My guess is by saying you went Pixar, my guess is your answer is Cars.
Correct. The wonderful first movie, horrific second, and pedestrian third. As a franchise, and there's a lot of Cars love out there, bro. But I think a lot of that Cars love comes from that first film, which is essentially also Doc Hollywood, which we've also mentioned before. They legitimately ripped the entire script of Doc Hollywood starring Michael J. Fox, which is fine. I love that movie. So it's cool to see it as a fictionalized narrative centering around Cars, and Cars Land is super fun. But this franchise gets way more love than it deserves.
Yeah. I mean, I like the second film. I can't not explain why. I actually like the second one more than the third. I don't like the second one, but like, I don't know. I think it's funny. Yeah, I don't know. Like, for me, there's one answer for the worst franchise in the Disney entertainment industry, and that answer is Willow.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and the fact that it's got a show...
Think the- film. I don't think the film is really that special. I don't. And I know you disagree with that. I know you love the first film. But
it hit me at a right time in my life.
Right.
If you go and watch it now, it's a tough watch.
Yeah. And the series was horrendous from what I saw of it. You finished it, right?
I did. But I hate watched it. I mean, when I tell you I hate watched Willow and I hated it. So
I'm going to go with Willow. I'm kind of taking the easy way out, but I think that's the worst franchise Disney has that they've tried to do something.
But overrated would totally fit. Cause there are some people that absolutely are our age or my age, and they have very fond memories of it, and they've built it up to be way more than it actually is. And it is not good. It's not good at all.
Yep.
All right, man. I'm going to let you go first. I have so many thoughts on this one. Most overrated Disney sports movie. I have a lot of them. I have a lot. And I feel like this is the category where overrated is perfect because they're cliche. They're very formulaic. And I feel like everyone always has love for one of these, if not like multiple. Like people are always like, oh my God, Invincible is the greatest movie ever. Is it? Is it really the greatest movie ever? I don't know.
Invincible, I don't love. But if you mention any one of the five films I'm thinking you might, I'm ready to throw down. I'm going to go with The Game Plan.
Okay.
Because this was back when he was The Rock. He wasn't even Dwayne Johnson. He was still The Rock. And like they tried to, what was the Tooth Fairy one that he did too? Like they tried to recreate. Yeah. So they tried to recreate something with The Game Plan. They tried to pull in football and the dad and the daughter and stuff like that. Like for me, I'm tired of any film that a guy has a kid he didn't know about that he all of a sudden becomes totally financially and responsible for. I don't know. For whatever reason, they tried to recreate something with The Game Plan. And there's people out there that love that movie. And I don't understand it.
See, now I feel like those are appropriately rated because they're kind of like they are what they are.
Yeah.
The movies that just I wish Disney would stop making are the ones that are based in reality, but not fully. So they take artist license and liberties with, you know, like 85% of the story. And then, you know, 15% of it is based in like, well, that game actually happened or that guy was a real dude. But the rest of it is just a fictionalized version of that person's life. I have a lot on this list that I just feel like people absolutely adore them and they point to them and it's like a part of their personality. Glory Road is overrated. The Rookie is overrated.
I love The Rookie so much.
Safety is overrated. Air Bud, overrated.
Well, okay, what historical accuracies did Air Bud have?
No,
I'm pretty sure it happened exactly the way that it happened.
Well, Air Bud was going to be my choice because I didn't want to bring all the smoke and like have people come at me. So there are some of these that I do really think that Disney nailed. You know, we've talked about oh gosh, Denzel Washington. Dude.
Remember the Titans.
Thank you. Remember the Titans was phenomenal. Like that movie makes me cry.
When you talk historical inaccuracies, they won that state championship like 43-0.
I know. Miracle. I know that they
Miracle's perfect.
Perfect. It's a perfect film. So the genre, it's just, I don't know. It's for every success that Disney has, there's like two or three that I'm like, yo, Disney, no.
Miracle is perfect.
Miracle's a perfect
because
film.
Everything had to be right down to the exact detail because like you said, then they would get killed if it wasn't.
Yeah.
But the way if you can watch a documentary, how they filmed that final game, Miracle's perfect.
Miracle
is amazing. Glory Road, I can understand what you're talking about. Million Dollar Arm is one that kind of goes in and out of there with John Hamm. That one's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I just wish Disney would stop making that type of movie. They've shied away from them. Cause they got a little heavy into them and they were really formulaic. But after they made Miracle, they should have just stopped. I don't want any. Also, no one asked for another football movie. Okay, we don't need any more football movies. We have enough of them. There's enough out there, both Disney and non-Disney, that we can go and watch a football movie. We don't need any more fictionalized football movies. Thank you, sincerely, Mark. most overrated song or soundtrack of a Disney movie.
Do you want the smoke? Because it's going to make you mad. I think you already know my answer.
Little Mermaid, you're going to say. I know.
No. Oh. I love the Little Mermaid soundtrack. I think the most overrated soundtrack that Disney has is Tarzan. I I'm not a big Phil Collins guy, and obviously that's the problem. You love the Tarzan soundtrack, especially You'll Be in My Heart. I understand that. But I the memes of Phil Collins didn't have to go so hard with the piano on fire, it just doesn't do it for me. Oh, like, it just does not do it for me.
Son of man, that sucks. That thing's bomb.
The NSYNC song's okay, I suppose, but it doesn't do it for me from start to finish.
Oh. I disagree.
I know you do. And most people are going to be, this is probably the thing that's going to make people most mad, but the Tarzan soundtrack just is not for me. My wife's mad at me about it too.
Well, Kristen, I agree with you. So mine is going to be Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Wow.
People love Hunchback. Yeah. People love it. Some of the songs are problematic, like Hellfire. I have to skip Hellfire. I can't listen to you can't listen into it in the car. You feel weird. You feel creepy. Especially when you see the movie. The Bells of Notre Dame are okay. Out There is good. But like we're saying, people like that song, but the soundtrack, like top to bottom, is just no bueno. Don't like it. I would have said Pocahontas is a second. Colors of the Wind is good, but the rest of
Colors of the Wind is honestly on my overrated song list. I don't know. I'm glad it's not in Fantasmic anymore.
Well, Vanessa Williams sang the hell out of that. She really did a nice job in singing that song. And that was a beautiful song. Like, people are going to think I have like nothing but hate for Pocahontas as a film. Colors of the Wind was really good, but that was there too. Like, that was a consideration. It's just, it's not a great soundtrack. Who's your most overrated villain? While we're on the topic.
See, this one's kind of difficult for me, but I think it's the Evil Queen from Snow White.
No, she's perfect, man. She's
amazing. I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you have?
Well, I don't think he's well liked or rated at all, but I love all the villains. There's only one villain I can't jam with, and it's Frollo, dude.
When he shows up in Fantasmic, it's weird.
Oh, it's so weird. He's just weird. Dizzy, you want to talk like, so Disney's all about, like, you know, these look backs and like, should we really do this anymore? Dude, they need to retire Frollo, like, period. Just retire the dude. Even Alan Menken has come out and like people are talking about like a remake or a live action. He's like, well, Hellfire is problematic. That villain is really problematic. But, and Disney did the best that they could to even make it palatable. But the Hunchback of Notre Dame is a very tough intellectual property to adapt. Get rid of Frollo, please.
And maybe it's my dislike for, I don't care that much for the Snow White franchise or character at all.
I like Snow White. I do.
Yeah. And maybe that's where I'm coming with Evil Queen for, like, I just think Maleficent is so much better.
She really is. But
those two that run in the same category. So I think that's kind of where my mind went.
I think the reason I love the Evil Queen so much is the park meet and greet has weighed so heavily in that opinion. She's a really snarky, quick, you know, she's got like the best of Lady Tremaine, a little touches of Maleficent that she's not really nice to guests. And they like kind of like getting roughed up by her. You know, the Evil Queen from the film, I could get that. But my opinion of her is heavily influenced by that bomb meet and greet that you get in the parks. So that's why I'm there. All right. Most overrated sidekick in a Disney movie.
I threw this one in there cause I didn't know where I wanted to go here. Because when I was like, there's gotta be one that I just don't care for.
I love them all.
I started thinking about, yeah, like Pascal and like all those different sidekicks that I want to go with. So
I'm taking the easy road. Yeah. I'm taking an easy road. So go ahead.
And you're going where?
I because I love them all. I mean, okay.
I'm going to do it before you do. I'm going to go Pocahontas. I think Miko and the Hummingbird are both just boring.
Okay. No, I didn't do that. I have more love. I have more love for Miko and the Hummingbird than I do for anything else in that film. And the pug, like, those are my favorite elements, are the non-historical like animal sidekicks in that movie are my favorite part of Pocahontas, period.
Miko and the Hummingbird walked so Mushu and the Lucky Cricket could run.
I agree. I took the easy road out. Every single sidekick that I looked at, I was like, yo, I'm on board. So I am thinking outside of the box or the dresser. I'm going to go with Madame de la Grande Boucher, who's the chiffre robe or the wardrobe from Beauty and the Beast, who sings opera before crushing her prey. Why? Like, it's like,
she's awesome.
She's not awesome. She's not. Like, I don't know. Like, I, all the other sidekicks, I love Mushu. Dude, I love Pascal. I love Maximus.
There's, LeFou?
I love LeFou.
I know, I do too.
I love LeFou. He's like one of my favorites. And even Madame like de la Grande Boucher, I love her too.
I had no idea that was her name.
Yeah, I can't pick one. I love all the sidekicks. Disney nails them. Nails them. So what did we miss? Is that it?
I couldn't think of anything else. I don't know. What do you got?
So we did most overrated Pixar. What about Walt Disney Animation? Why don't we do that one? I know we did.
Oh, okay. You'll have to go first.
I would have to say it's Sleeping Beauty. I understand the art style and there's a lot of, but there's a lot of praise for Sleeping Beauty. And that's by and large, Maleficent steals the show, but Sleeping Beauty's asleep for most of it. It's not a very extensive soundtrack. Once Upon a Dream is great, but the rest of it's kind of humdrum. Yeah, I would say that's overrated. I think people look back at that with higher praise than they probably should.
That's kind of where I was coming from the standpoint of picking her as my least favorite official princess. I'm going to give my answer in two parts. I can give my answer in three parts. Anything that came out between June 15th of 2001 and November 27th of 2002, those three films, Atlantis, The Lost Empire, Lilo and Stitch, Treasure Planet.
And there's a lot of love for those, which is why
there is. And everybody that you all have the same idea. Tom Holland needs to play Milo. Like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Like, Atlantis and Treasure Planet have these, and it's everybody. If you like one, you like the other. And I think those have a lot of fan bases that I just don't understand. And Lilo and Stitch just in general, I don't get it. I don't get Stitch. I don't get the appeal. I've said it many times on here. I'm sure I'll say it again before, but that's what I would go with is I don't want a live action Stitch.
No, I was just going to say, you want to talk about movies that don't need the live action treatment, Lilo and Stitch, please.
It's well down that way now at this point.
I know. And Zach Galifianakis is Stitch.
Really?
Yeah.
Thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's no, and it looks like Nightmare Fuel.
It sounds like Nightmare Fuel.
Not going to be great.
Stitch between two ferns.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break, but don't go anywhere because we're going to be right back with Disney's College of Knowledge and say goodbye and bid adieu for another week of Disney Podcast. We'll be right back. All right, Brian, it's time for Disney's College of Knowledge. This is where we put your Disney parks and entertainment knowledge to the test every single week by asking you a trivia question, and we love to get your feedback. To play, you are going to message us the correct answer to @DisLightPodcast over on Instagram, and then we will let you know that you are just an amazing human being. But last week on our College Knowledge, we asked, in Disney's Moana, the voice of Maui was played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but Dwayne had aspired to become an NFL player before he suffered a career-ending injury. So we asked, what college did Dwayne The Rock play for before changing his career trajectory? Brian, I know you know this one.
He played at the U, University of Miami.
Bing, bing, bing. That is correct. Nice job, man. And congratulations. A lot of fans of the U out there that like messaged us this week. Nice job. You guys get an A+ on your Disney report card. You knew that Dwayne The Rock went to the U. All right. So this week's College of Knowledge comes to us from that immense roster. We just talked about the sidekicks just a minute ago. So we need to know in this week's College of Knowledge, what is the name of Merlin's owl sidekick in the animated Sword and the Stone? Again, what is the name of Merlin's owl sidekick in the animated Sword and the Stone? Message us the correct answer to @DisLightPodcast. And again, join us over on Discord. Message us and we'll send you the link for Discord. Brian, this was mad fun this week. I like that. And it was not awful. We were not like Debbie Downers the whole time.
No, we have our opinions and we hope you disagree with them and can discuss them cordially.
Right. And again, our little disclaimer that our opinions are ours and ours alone. They do not reflect the ownership and or members of the Chip and Company Podcast Network or Chip and Co. So they disavow any and all of our discussions here today. What do you got going on tonight? What are you looking forward to this week?
United We Fan this week, we did part one of our theme TV show theme song discussion, which was fun. Listen to what won the 80s and 90s bracket this upcoming week. I'm not sure what United We Fan, it might be part two, which is animated TV show theme songs. But outside of that, it's the start of softball season, start of baseball season, a lot going on in my work life.
Pitchers and catchers are reporting soon too, right? MLB.
Baseball season around the corner. Yeah. By the time, yeah, we got Super Bowl next Sunday, then it's all time for baseball.
I know. Are you guys still doing Agents of Field, by the way, as a plug?
We have not done it in a little while. Ryan's been starting a new job and responsibilities, yeah, but Agents of Field may come back soon.
Yeah, just got married too. Sometimes it's tough. I always tell people that the death of podcasting is when life gets in the way. But life did not get in the way of this week's Dislike Podcast, and therefore we were so happy that you could join us this week and every single week. Thank you for hanging out with me and Brian and living your best Disney lives with us here at the Chip and Company Podcast Network. And don't forget, smash the subscribe button because we have amazing shows from Mom Street USA, We Like Theme Parks, and of course, United We Fan every single week, along with Anne Company, our news review on Fridays. But when you subscribe, you get lots and lots of Disney. Look, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And we hope that the rest of this week is filled with faith, trust, and pixie dust. See you soon, Brian.
Thanks, Mark.
Go Chiefs. Diz Life Podcast is brought to you by the Happiness is Addictive Collection. Happiness is Addictive is passionate about spreading laughter and creating smiles worldwide. They love bringing their global community together through optimism, cheer, hopefulness, merriment, and celebrating life's magical moments. They know how important it is to celebrate life's adventures, and their apparel will give you everlasting, one-of-a-kind memories through pixie-dusted family photos, compliments from park guests, and magical moments with cast members. They pride themselves on high-quality, custom-made apparel at competitive prices with world-class service. Let them help you create a lifetime of memories, whether you're Disney bounding, kicking it poolside, participating in Run Disney marathons, having costumed adventures, or just living your best Disney life. You can find their Happiness is Addictive shop on Etsy. You can also find them on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Pinterest. They are proud to be featured in Indy Central Florida, the Thoughtful Gift Club, and now here on Diz Life Podcast. Their collection was founded by a 15-year former cast member who knows how to enhance your magical moments for a lifetime of memories with your family. Don't forget to use promo code DizLife15 to take an extra 15% off. What are you waiting for? Head over to Etsy and start getting happy today. Follow the link in our show notes and you'll find out for yourself that happiness is addictive.